Upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose Masterforce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from Masterforce today. Check out all our Masterforce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to episode 9 of season 5. If you've just joined, this is Maria from At Maria the Arcane on everything. And I'm joined by our supreme goddess, Robin of At a Tired Witch.
Oh, I'm a goddess this week. That's nice. I like that.
Oh, hell yeah. We did want to remind you guys that we have a class on June 29th at 11 a.m. PST for our latest class, Tarot 101 with Teresa Reed. Amazing author and, like, you know, she has so many books on, like, tarot so and many. All that. Like, yes, like, this class
She's
is going to be so
good.
My
personal, like, idols. Not to be annoying, but Teresa's the entire reason that I got in that Tired Witch existed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, was such a fan of her work that I was like, I want to blog too.
I love her books. I have many of them. I love them very much.
I think she's so incredibly talented. And this is such a, it's a big opportunity for all of us to have Teresa in the house to teach for us. So if you're somebody who's interested in tarot, at least from my perspective, this is a really big deal. So hopefully you would like to join us on that.
Yeah.
As a reminder too, if you guys want to be featured on a Coffee Talk episode, you can send us an email at submissions@coffeeandcauldrons.com. You can head to our website, coffeeandcauldrons.com, and go to the submission forum. Or you can leave us a voicemail at 351-207-0799 to send us your witchy tips, your stories, your ghost stories, just anything that you think the community would love to hear. We would love to hear from you.
Yeah.
They are very fun.
They are so much fun. I love listening and reading them.
And as a reminder in general that the Patreon exists, we've talked about this many times, but if you are interested in the Patreon, because we have gotten a lot of messages about it, the website is patreon.com/magicalbeginnings, but you can head to our website, Coffee and Cauldrons. You can go to any of our social media and go to the link tree and it is there. We would love to have you.
Mm-hmm.
The Patreon is what makes the podcast possible. So thank you all so much for your support.
And also be very mindful about the tiers that you pick and what is available
yes.
for each tier. Like, it's very important
yes, please
to
read them thoroughly. Yeah, we've had a handful of complaints recently that people are not getting the rewards that they think that they're signing up for, but it is very thoroughly labeled. And if you have questions about the tiers before joining, shoot us a message. We'd love to help you with that.
Mm-hmm.
But please read the tiers fully before paying for it. We want you guys to get out of it what it is that you are hoping to get from it. So there, it's all labeled very, very, you know, clearly, but if you still are confused, that's okay. That's totally valid. So just shoot us a message and let us help you.
Yeah, exactly.
We're happy to help. So shoot us a message. Let us help you. Let us make sure that you're signing up for what you want to be signing up for. And get the most out of it that you can. So,
yeah.
We hope to see you. If you just joined us this week, every week we talk about upcoming lunar phases and how you can utilize those in your magical practice. Now, that being said, Maria and I were just discussing how this upcoming moon, which is going to be the full moon on the 21st of this month, is one of those weird cusp moons. The first half of the evening is the full moon in Sagittarius, and then while still at 100%, it moves to the full moon in Capricorn. So we're going to talk about both, Again, we recommend utilizing a moon app to find out what exactly the time placement is for where you're located. So we're going to talk about both depending on when you utilize it. So that being said, the first full moon, which is the full moon in Sagittarius, is a really good time, in my opinion, to utilize powering up travel plans, like really ensuring that they're going to go well, especially if you're going to go on like long-term kind of like future travel plans, or even like planting the seeds so that way you can have future successful travel. This would be a good time for that. If you're somebody who makes travel wards for protection, great time to make wards for that, to keep on you, travel jars, etc. Protection jars, I mean, etc. Very good time for that. It's also a really good time to kind of work on big dreams. So traveling is, in my opinion, a big dream, and that's kind of just my interpretation of that. Mm-hmm. But any big ideas or dreams of the future that you have, full moon in Sagittarius is a great time for that. We've talked before in the past about utilizing love spells specifically for drawing in someone mm-hmm. that is ideal for you. So not a specific person, but somebody who like meets your criteria, and mm-hmm. kind of writing a letter or something like that. And this would be a good time for that. That's a really big idea and dream of your future and what you want for yourself. So if you are somebody who has been like toying with the idea of doing that kind of love work, this is a really good time for that, in my opinion. If we move over to the full moon in Capricorn, this is kind of more about truth seeking and structure. So if you're somebody who wants to have maybe a justice spell done, or if you're somebody who needs to have balance found in your life, perhaps to have truths revealed, etc., I would focus on the full moon in Capricorn specifically for that kind of work. Mm-hmm. You can also utilize it in an organized and structured way, you know, inviting organization, structure, and discipline into your life. But I would focus more on this particular one on justice and truth seeking. Mm-hmm. What about you?
So I would, just for fun, I always like these types of moons, especially like when it changes at 100%, to incorporate both signs in the spell. And I think Ooh. Doing a spell towards like, like investing in your path, like, because Capricorn is very about self-investment and stuff like that. So if there's something that you want to move forward with, or something that you think needs more attention in your life and you want more energy towards, I think this would be a good time to like just kind of like do a spell that collects that energy or money that you need in order to fulfill it and to be mm-hmm. able to move forward on that journey towards where you want to go. That's what personally I would do and what I'm probably going to do myself. So yeah, that's what I would do. Like quick and simple, yeah. fun way to incorporate both signs into like a major spell working.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I didn't even think about combining them. That's so smart.
Thanks. So every main episode we discuss tarot. Previous episodes we've gone over like different descriptions of the cards, and last season we went over the like whole sections in tarot, and this season we're concentrating on themes, like themes that we see in cards, and we each choose like three cards for a particular theme. We just think this would be a great way to learn and see the cards in a different light. This week, we're concentrating on learning. For my first card that I picked the Hierophant. And for me, the Hierophant's all about like sharing learned knowledge. Like the Hierophant to me is like a therapist, like someone who has went to school to help you move forward, or like someone, for lack of a term, like obviously the Hierophant is a churchly person that you would go for confession. And while yes, the Hierophant is spiritual in a sense, it's still learned knowledge. Like they had to learn the Bible or learn like religious texts in order to give knowledge to the person. They're not giving it from an internal spiritual knowledge sort of situation. But it can also represent even like going to an advisor or something to learn to help you move forward in certain aspects. And you yourself can represent the Hierophant. Like me and Robin would be considered a Hierophant in some ways on this, you know.
So true. Many saying this. Haters will say this is fake.
Exactly. But it's like when we share like things that we have learned through books and things like that. That's how I view the Hierophant. And then the High Priestess is kind of, I view them very similarly, like Hierophant and High Priestess. But the High Priestess is more about self-taught knowledge, like knowledge that they have gained on their path, you know, like through situations and through, unfortunately, sometimes trauma and the good things. Yeah. It's like learning what does and does not work for you personally. It's like meeting it somewhere in the middle where the High Priestess sits and how she uses both of those things to move forward on her path and learn. And she is also about like learning from guides, from deities, from spirits, you know, kind of working in that liminal realm of thinking. Hopefully that made sense. I love the High Priestess very much. And then the last card I chose was the Page of Swords. And to me, like the Page of Swords is like very, like I view all the pages as like learning. But this particular page like shares the importance of like waiting and learning by watching and not moving forward with something until you're ready to move forward with something. Obviously there is like a downside to that. Sometimes we wait too long, like, you know, like people mm-hmm. with spell work, like being afraid to like do spell work and said they just read about it. But sometimes, you know, just learning before doing is a very good thing. And like waiting for the right time to do things. Yeah. But yeah, that's how I view the Page of Swords. How about you? What are your three?
So the first one I picked, I feel like is really obvious, and that's the Eight of Pentacles. It's an apprenticeship card, right? Mm-hmm. And in apprenticeships, that's learning. That's everything about learning. And it's the early stages of learning. This specific card tells us essentially if we continue to keep putting our energy, our mind, our education towards this, we're going to get to the end of that apprenticeship and become a master, right? Mm-hmm. But it is also a humbling card. We are learning. It is a, you don't know everything. We're still working on this. And so I like this card because it does, it is that humbleness that comes with being an apprentice. Your mm-hmm. early stages, you still have a lot to learn and you need to lean on your mentors, your elders, etc., who know more than you mm-hmm. to get feedback, to get advice, to ask for their perspective, even if you're not going to take it, just mm-hmm. to hear from them and to, you know, take with that what you will.
Yeah, learning by like mistakes is so like important.
It's super important. Like, I mean, it's one of those situations where if you don't ever make mistakes, if you don't ever learn from mistakes and you just learn because somebody is telling you something, mm-hmm. you're not going to learn how to problem solve out of that mistake in mm-hmm. future via experience. Like, yeah, reading about it, you might have like a baseline point to go off of, but that might not work for you. And you're not going to figure that out until you've made the mistake and you work your way out of it. Mm-hmm. My next card is the Four of Cups reversed. So this is a card about the universe, right? Handing us something and us being too, I don't know, focused on something else. It's very similar to the Five of Cups in that we're very focused away from the gifts being given to us, right? That we mm-hmm. can't receive. And when it's in reverse, it's receiving a gift, right? From mm-hmm. the universe. And I feel like universal gifts are lessons. Mm-hmm. We talk about kind of, people talk about like their life's lessons and their life's hardships, etc. And like the things that they need, that they are going to struggle with for their mm-hmm. their time on this earthly realm. And I feel like when the universe hands us something, it is a gift, but that gift is much bigger than something tangible, physical, monetary, etc. Mm-hmm. It's usually like a lesson learned and growth and development that comes from that. And I think that there is a lot of like personal growth, but also personal learning for mm-hmm. who we are, how we interact with the world, etc. in that. So I think that's maybe a little bit more, I don't know, metaphorical than literal learning, but I think that I think that universal lessons are important.
Yes, they are.
And the last one I picked is the Three of Swords, which is obviously a heartbreak card, but in heartbreak, there is a lot of learning about our worth, learning about how to heal, mm-hmm. learning about how to move past something, learning about loss. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of learning that comes through heartbreak. Mm-hmm. And usually when we are able to make it out the other side, we are a better person for it. Mm-hmm. Even on like an individual level, not like how we treat others or something like that. Although it could be that way, but usually it's we have grown from it in a way that makes us stronger, makes us more capable, makes us to be able to spot warning signs in the future, makes us just more aware. And while it's obviously very difficult to go through any kind of loss, mm-hmm. we tend to grow from it and learn from it. Mm-hmm. And it makes our life overall better. It makes room for more joy. And absolutely. I think while that's a very like love and light version of the Three of Swords, I do think that is also a very big part of it that gets left out because we have that kind of shock of mm-hmm. the loss that we tend to forget about the small positives that do come from it in the end.
Yeah. There is knowledge in loss. Absolutely. And yeah. I think, you know, when we overlook that is when we get into like toxic negativity because.
Totally.
Yeah.
Because there's toxic positivity and there's toxic negativity and both are very unhealthy cycles.
Yes. So be like the high priestess and sit somewhere in the middle, guys. Yeah. So this week, kind of like celebrating the fact that we're going to have Teresa read on, we thought we would discuss our own tarot tips.
Yes.
Robin and I have been reading tarot for a very long time, and we have definitely picked up some things on the way. We did do a tarot tips episode like a few seasons ago, but I don't know. I always think that this stuff is really good to revisit because, as I always say, like, our opinions of tarot constantly changes, even as, like, you know, experienced readers. Like, it happens all the time. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully we'll drop some new kernels of nuggets for you guys. But, so Robin, what is your first tip?
This tip is a shout out to everybody who's just starting. That I wish I had gotten early on. And I have said this a few times, but I do think it's something that gets forgotten a lot, and that is journal. Mm-hmm. Journal, 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 journal. One, writing things down is a great way that helps your memory. It just does. There's like studies on it that if you're reading something and you're writing it at the same time, it helps you remember stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, lots of people have different learning styles, so maybe that doesn't apply to you, but for the majority, it does.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that part of building our intuition is giving us a sound, like a baseboard mm-hmm. to work off of, a soundboard. And so my biggest recommendation when you're trying to build intuition when it comes to tarot is pull a card for the day and write down what you think that means in a divinatory sense.
Mm-hmm.
For the day, just for the day, not a big grand thing, just for the day. write it down. What does that mean? And then come back to it either the next morning or in the evening. And how did that pan out? Your mm-hmm. prediction pan out based off of how the day actually went.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really good way to understand like personal correspondence for a card. We play mm-hmm. comparisons. If you see patterns starting to come up, et cetera, mm-hmm. It's a really, really good way to start building intuitive and personal correspondence. But it's also a really good way to just get into practice with different cards that you might not see if you were just like looking at blogs or reading mm-hmm. books or something. And it gives you kind of a more in-depth, well, meaning with these cards on a mm-hmm. daily basis.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think journaling is so important, and I do that for my cards all the time. I think when we journal, especially journaling first your intuitive thoughts, I know like right away, especially if you're just starting, it's really easy to write off those intuitive thoughts. Mm-hmm. But writing and then writing out like, you know, a guidebooks thing or, you know, like the keywords, the theme words.
Yep.
And that way, so you're kind of like tying them together. And it's like, as you said, journaling also helps you kind of break out, because I don't know, a lot of people have a problem of talking themselves out of certain cards, especially negative cards, where they a negative cards pop up and they're like nope they try to write it off as something else. And I think
I'll just pull another one, didn't like that, I'll just pull a different one.
Exactly. But no, I definitely agree, journaling is so important, even if you have to do it like digitally, like have like, you know, a Google Docs thing up about your daily pulls, whatever works for you.
Yeah, whatever works for you. I mean, heck, get your notes app out, get your voice to text going, mm-hmm. and just take a voice recording for, you know, 15 seconds and then circle back to it. It doesn't have to be this big complicated thing.
Mm-mm.
Social media is so great, but it does put us in this position where we think we have to have our fountain pen and our blessed grimoire to handwrite each and every thought that comes out of our little fart brain. And that is just not reality. I mean, yes, it is nice to have those things. I'm definitely not knocking anybody who does it. Mm-hmm. I definitely have books that I have got my like Dragon's Blood ink and stuff like mm-hmm. that. Like, I definitely have them. I'm not knocking it, but not everything has to be like that.
Mm-mm.
And
no,
that's the reality. The reality is that those sort of things are for really intentive spell work and really mm-hmm. intentive things. And not everything has to be so full of intent that you're farting rainbows out your asshole. Sorry. It's just not.
If you give yourself freedom when it comes to journaling, I think it definitely helps. I think people get stuck on, you know, I switch between digital journaling and writing it down in a physical journal, but I don't hold myself to it. If I feel like digital journaling, I'll just digital journal that day.
I only write it down because I don't like digital journaling, but I switch from like, what are those called? You know, those like ruled, like metal spiral bound notebooks
mm-hmm.
versus like something nicer, like a Moleskine.
Yeah. I use a huge, like, I think it is 8x18. I don't know, but it's a very big spiral bound notebook. And I love spiral bound notebooks because it's a hardback. So I can literally sit on my lap and write out my cards. But yeah, that's what I do, but I definitely agree. Journal.
What would be your biggest tip for people?
Oh, the biggest tip. I think it's very easy to complicate tarot and like look at the cards and be easily confused by them just by the sheer amount of them. But I think it's important when you decide to start a tarot practice is to remember that tarot is based off of archetypes that we see in our everyday life, every day. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so easy to look at a card and be like, what does this mean to me? I think it's just giving yourself the freedom rather than trying to convolute what, you know, what it is. because, you know, the magician shows someone within their power bringing their dreams down to reality. They have like one hand up, one hand down. And then you look at like a Robin brought up like the Eight of Pentacles. So you literally see someone working on something repeatedly to make it better. Like the cards, like especially the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, show very clear imagery of what the cards mean. And it's all about like actually trusting yourself and seeing those archetypes in your own life to understand the cards better. But I really do think people overcomplicate it when they're looking at the cards and think that there's huge hidden meanings. And it's okay to view the cards like differently than other people, because archetypes mean different things in our own lives. And those archetypes change all the time as we move forward on our journeys. Like I'll view one card one way, like for years, and then I'll see it in a different light.
There's also context clues with like other cards that you pull to like what direction that archetype might be leaning. I think the biggest thing that you have to learn when you're first starting tarot is to let go of your personal bias to what you want to hear, which is hard. I still struggle with it. If I'm really struggling with something, like a reading, I will ask a friend to pull cards for me. I've asked Maria to do it for me a dozen times because I know I have this personal bias and I need to hear the truth. And I'm going to look at it in like some spun light that is going to be more to what I want to hear. And sometimes you have to get outside feedback, and that doesn't make you a bad reader or a bad anything. It means that you're a human being and human beings have bias.
And like, I really think that if you're having problems reading spreads and stuff like that, I think it's easier to look at it like a screenplay. Like if you're looking at it like a screenplay and you're seeing these things play out in certain roles in the movie, which the roles would be like the prompts. So like, what is a character doing in this one? Obviously you're the character. So it's just kind of like placing yourself in those roles in the prompts.
I'm the starring character. I'm the main guy.
Yes. Yes. So what's your next tip?
My next tip would be to stop trying to make a deck work for you that isn't working for you. Stop trying to make fetch happen. The fact of the matter is that I personally only have one tarot deck. As we all know, I've never had a tarot deck of variety. For those of you who are new here, I have a collection. That was a joke. but I have certain decks that simply do not work for certain types of readings. For example, my lovely Omens deck that everybody loves when I go on social media and they say, oh my gosh, where can I get that? And I'm like, she stopped making them. They don't exist anymore. That is, in my opinion, the best deck to use specifically for love readings because it tells people hard truths in a nice way. But I would never use that for like a career reading because it's just not going to happen. It's not going to work for some people. If they're a repeat customer and I know their energy, et cetera, then sure, I can use it for that. I've got other decks that I have tried so hard to resonate with because I think they're beautiful and they just do nothing but pull nonsense and it just doesn't work for me. And like, that's okay. Like, stop trying to make fetch happen. It's just not going to, and that's all right. And it sucks because we spend a lot of money on these decks and you want it so bad to work because it's so beautiful. You want it to make sense for you. You love the art and it's just not happening. And so I would recommend in those cases, there's a ton of like trading Facebook groups where you can like do a thing where you can say, hey, I'm looking to trade this deck for somebody else's deck that doesn't resonate with them. They exist. They're out there. You don't have to spend any extra money and you can do a swap. But if the deck is just not resonating with you, And I get we don't have unlimited funds that we can just buy another one and another one and another one and another one until we find one. Get on a trading website or sell it or something. Get on Instagram, offer up, hey, I'm looking to trade this. Does anybody have a deck they want to trade? Get out there, get in the community, trade or purchase another one if you have those kind of funds to your, you know, availability. Mm-hmm. But stop trying to make it work for you because you're just going to get frustrated. Mm-hmm. You're not going to, it's never going to make sense, right? Mm-hmm. And you're going to keep trying to beat this dead horse and all you're doing is frustrating yourself and making learning so much harder mm-hmm. because it's not working for you. It doesn't make sense. And you're like, why can't I interpret this? Well, maybe you and the deck just don't click.
Mm-hmm. I will say I've had decks like that happen, but I keep them. But then like, I don't, something switches where eventually I will use them.
Totally. So no. And I've got them too. I've got those decks too. Mm-hmm. I've got those decks too, but I can also understand the perspective of being brand new. You're like, I bought one deck. This is my first deck. It's not working and I don't have the money to get another one. Mm-hmm. So swap it. Get a trade. Yeah. They exist. Mm-hmm. It exists. Don't make it harder for yourself. Just let it go. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's so important to have a connection to the deck you're using for specific readings. Like if it, using a specific deck for a certain reading does not feel right, your reading's not going to feel right. You know, it's kind of like your intuition telling you, hey, this isn't going to work out for you because
I've had client readings where I've had to straight up switch the deck because I'm like, I've pulled five times. Because like when I do tarot readings, especially for lives, mm-hmm. I pull until a story is unfolding in front of me that I can interpret. Mm-hmm. I don't really like doing spreads. I used to do spreads a lot, and I still do on an occasion for certain things. Mm-hmm. But I like to pull until I've got a clear story in front of me. Mm-hmm. And I've had readings where I've had to straight up be like, this doesn't make sense. I'm going to get a different deck. Like, this mm-hmm. is not working for you, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
It's okay. I don't think that makes you a bad reader. I think that makes you really honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why I, for my clients, I always give like a list of like five decks that I'm currently zinging with and be like, okay, choose from these five. That's what you get.
That's really smart. I pick for them. Sorry, I'm a dictator. Sorry, gang. I choose for you.
Look, I just like variety and I need a reason to keep buying more decks. I'd be like, well, I can use it for a client. Yeah. Mm. Or this deck has been sitting for enabling. So long. I need some love. No, it's not. I'm a collector.
It's enabling.
I'm a collector.
Not me. I only have one deck.
Just one.
I'm an angel. What can I say? I'm just a baby. I saw a Blythe. Do you remember Blythe dolls?
Yeah.
I saw a Blythe tarot deck that got sent to our Discord, the Patreon Discord, mm-hmm. and it's like $80, but I'm like, I want that. Which then made me think that I could make a Kewpie tarot deck.
You should. Especially before someone else does.
Wouldn't that be so fun? Like a photography-based Kewpie tarot deck? Mm-hmm. Get little Kewpies and give them little, like, accessories? That'd be so cute. I want to do that so bad. I think Frank might kill me, but because I will be like, it's miniature. We have to get it. But I also think that I'm perfect in every way, and therefore that's very valid for me to do.
Are Kewpies, like, public domain? Can you use them without copyright?
I don't know. Well, it's my photography, so I think so. I mean, there's a high school named after the Kewpies.
I don't know.
Let's look. I'm Googling it right now. You guys are live action. According to a 1998 court case, the Kewpie character is in the public domain.
Awesome. There you go.
So, did we just have a public brain blast? For those of you who don't know, who like are not in my brain, I collect Kewpie dolls. It's like, it makes my husband psycho, but I collect Kewpie dolls. If you ever have a Kewpie doll laying around and you're like, I would like to get rid of this, send it to me. I have so many. My favorite ones, one of my favorite ones, Maria sent me. Mm-hmm. I have like a 4 foot tall plastic Kewpie doll that is makes my husband miserable.
And two real life ones too. So
I do. My kids look like Kewpies too. I love them so much. I birthed them. But I love them. I get Sunny Angels. Again, if you want to offload Sunny Angels, you go ahead and send those to me. But that'd be really fun. Maybe I should do that.
You should.
Maybe that'll be a little pet project for me. I'll talk to Frank about it. He's going to be like, we don't need another project. And I'm like, we do. That would be really fun. I get a bunch of miniatures, which is also one of my loves. So that would be cool.
Yes.
Anyway. do you have any other tips that you want to talk about before we close up this segment?
Yes. One more.
Hit me, baby.
Okay. This, not everyone will agree, but I, in my own practice and most of the people that I speak to, this is a truth for them too.
Okay.
It is easier to learn by reading for other people because you're removing yourself from the equation. And I know how hard it is for some witches to find someone to read for because, you know, some of you guys are in the broom closet. And that is, you know, it's hard to find someone to read for if you're like, well, I have like no witchy friends. But if you do have like witchy friends and stuff, like have like a day where like a night where you like read for each other, like over like some wine or some, you know, virgin drinks and just like, you know, have fun with it, especially if you guys are like comfortable enough to just like, I think this means this. And you know, it's not serious. You're not being paid for it. But I really think removing yourself from the equation is such a great way to learn the cards because, and then hearing your views validated by your friends or whoever you're reading for is such a good feeling and it will keep you reading and keep you trusting yourself. Look, I'm not saying to start charging for people for readings as soon as you get for your first tarot card. Please don't do that. Don't do that. Definitely read for people for free just for fun and, you know, let them know that you're just a beginner. And then you'll find when you do tarot readings for yourself, it just becomes so much easier. It becomes so much easier because you're recognizing, you know, those archetypes that we spoke about and what they mean to you without your personal biases get in the way. I mean, yes, will your personal biases still get in the way? Of course, obviously. Mm-hmm. But it definitely does help. And if you are one of those witches who are in the broom closet with absolutely everyone and have like no friends whatsoever that are witchy, I do recommend like pulling cards as you watch the news or even like reality TV and just being like, what's going to happen next? And then you watch it play out like in real time. And then it kind of like, once again, removes yourself from, the equation and helps you begin to trust yourself and your readings. But yeah, not everyone might agree.
I do. I think overall that my only parting advice that I'm going to give is to trust yourself a little bit. Trust yourself completely. Mm-hmm. Even if you're wrong. That's how we learn, right? Kind of going back to Maria's theme for tarot this week. Mm-hmm. Is learning, and part of learning is messing up. So mm-hmm. trust yourself, and if you're wrong, learn from that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's why we don't read for others until we're ready.
Well, for money. It's okay to just do a purchase and giggles with friends. Yeah.
Yes. So, Maria, what's stirring your cauldron this week?
Oh, let me tell you. So, last week I went to Vegas with my wife, like on a work trip, and it was just, I've never been on a vacation like that where I'm very type A, guys, when it comes to vacations. Like, what? I plan. Me, type A? What a funk.
Are you sat here telling me that you are type A?
No.
I can't believe this. This is a shock to my system. I can't even understand. That's a joke, everyone. She's incredibly type A.
I am.
But
so,
so
bad.
Am I. So am I.
Oh, God. But, like, my wife would have to go to basically work during the day, and I would be like, well, fuck. Like, what do I do for the rest of the day? And I didn't realize how much I just needed to release the to-dos and the stressors and just be. Like, go on vacation and just be. And not worry about anything. Like
sitting
I think,
home, stressing out about every little
what
ailment.
I need to clean and what I need to do, like, you know, for work and all that, and just having it removed for a whole week, and to like being like, you know what, I'm gonna go sit by the pool and I'm gonna do nothing. I'm just gonna read and just chill. Like, what? That is not me. But I needed it so very bad. And like, I want to prioritize that more for myself, even if it's at the house, even if I have to force it. Just, you know,
good for your mental health.
It is very good for my mental health. And I was already like, you know, I take time away from work, take time away from my phone and stuff like that. But that doesn't make your mind stop. It doesn't make your mind like keep going a million miles a minute about what you need to do next. And like, while I was there, I was not worried about what I had to do next. And just that, like, I came back home and I just felt so refreshed, and I wanted to practice in like my magical practice. I couldn't wait to get back to it. And not that I, you know, I always enjoy my practice for like personal reasons and stuff, but like, I don't know, just when you learn a huge lesson, like I did, like how you just need to like fucking chill out. It just makes you view things in a total different way. And we're ready to like, you know, make huge changes, and you're using your practice to help you facilitate those like new big changes. So yeah, that was a lot of talking, but
I love it though. I think it's good.
Thank you. It was such a good trip, and I like it.
Even you needed the break, you needed the reset, because now you're back to work, babe. And you gotta put your nose at the grindstone.
Oh, hell no. I think the whole like, yes, you're in Vegas, so it's like consumerism, like, you know, at a 10th, but
it's
like,
yeah, capitalism at 11.
Like, Vegas was very more relaxing and chill than I thought it was going to be just because of the way that I approached it. And like, I don't know, like, I'm ready to like avoid the whole capitalism mindset even more in my life, away from even from vacation. So hopefully that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, Robin, what is not stirring your cauldron this week?
Thank you so much for asking.
Oh, you're so welcome.
This is a double-side sword, knife, whatever it's called. Double-edged sword? What's it called? Doesn't matter. Anyway, moving on. There's metal here everywhere. The reason it's not stirring my cauldron is because nettle is not native to this area.
Oh.
We have got a bunch of finches, and we keep getting finch feeders. Well, it's got nettle seed in it. And this is our problem, is we were not thinking. We were so excited about the birds that we weren't thinking about the fact that birds then poop out the seeds, and then the seeds become a plant. And we're so excited because, like, our three-year-old loves looking at the birds. We keep filling it up. There's birds everywhere. It's been super cool on a bird-watching standpoint.
But not for Robin.
There is now nettle everywhere. Well, I do hate birds, but my child doesn't. And from inside, it's fine. My child is very dumb and stupid. Joking. That was a joke. My child's wonderful. Okay, relax. Don't cancel me. Anyway. But my kid loves watching the birds. It's very exciting. They get really excited. And so we keep filling up the bird feeders. But there's now a nettle growing everywhere. Purple nettle growing everywhere. And I'm like, what's not stirring my cauldron about it is the fact that I'm like, does this have like ecological impacts that I need to worry about? Like, I don't mind the nettle itself. You know what I mean? And I've been picking a bunch of it and drying it for spell work, which has been great. But I'm like, do I have to worry about, like, the environment? But then I feel like maybe it's fine because why would they sell it if it wasn't?
I don't know. They sell some crazy stuff.
They do. They sell some crazy stuff. So I don't know. And it's one of those things where it hasn't gotten bad enough yet that I'm, like, overly worried. But it is in my brain. Where I'm just like, what are the long-term implications of this? So yeah, that's what's not stirring my cauldron is the nettle, but the nettle is due to my own not thinking. Being just excited about the birds, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I wonder if they do bird feed for specific regions. Like, I never even thought of that, to be quite honest.
This bird feed is specific for these birds.
Uh-huh.
Which are native to this region. And that's why I'm like, maybe it's okay. Because there is nettle in the area, like the grander area. There's just not nettle where we specifically live. I've never seen it before. So I don't know. This is me overthinking. It's probably totally fine.
It's so funny about you talking about birds, like, you know, pooping out seeds. That's the reason we have bramble that grows everywhere in our yard.
They'll eat the berries. Don't tell me that.
And then they'll just poop them out, and there is literally bramble everywhere. I mean, we pull them before they get too big or anything. But then you'll get, like, if you don't do it, you'll get, like, dewberries around this time of year, which is fine. But then you'll have more birds pooping out, you know, dewberry bushes everywhere.
So, yeah, it's one of those things where I'm like, well, this has been really great. And then all of a sudden I started to notice, like, all these little nettle plants. And I went, oh, no. I did not think about this at all. So, I don't know. We'll see. I'm going to do some more research on it. But yeah, I immediately was like, we didn't consider the ecological impacts of the feeding the birds.
Yeah, we have problems with our bird feed for the, I think it's millet.
Yeah.
I don't know. It drops from the stuff and it creates like these small, like little itty bitty plants. At least I think that is what is causing it. I'm not sure, but I don't know. It's just under our feeder. It would be nice if they ate the sunflower seeds and pooped out sunflowers everywhere.
Yeah, that would be nice.
But they don't. Goodness. I guess their body just digests those seeds particularly well.
Jerks. Another reason to not like birds. If you've just joined us this week, every week we talk about creators that we are loving right now. This could be shops, photographers, blogs, books, just anything that Maria and I are finding that we think you guys might love. As a reminder, these are not paid advertisements. This is just stuff we like. And we also are taking listener submissions for a third option that you guys really like. Mm-hmm. So that being said, Maria, who are you digging this week?
So I'm actually really digging a deck I got sent by US Games, and I don't know, it's just so beautiful. Like, I love the color combinations they used for this deck, and the card stock is chef's kiss. Like, it's like the Fyodor Pavlov deck. It's like that linen finish, and it even has the gilded edges, which is like this light blue. It is so pretty, and I love the illustrations on it. It's very cozy, and if you're looking for like a Rider-Waite-Smith influenced deck, I would definitely look at this one if you kind of want to like you know, you want to learn, but you don't want to use the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, I would look at this one and see if it strikes your fancy. Obviously, it won't follow the color correspondence of the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, but, like, the symbolism is there. And, oh no, they're just so stunning and so beautiful. And I've been using them for, like, all my readings, like, the past couple of weeks. But yeah, 10 out of 10. Definitely give it a look-see. So, who you been loving?
This I shared it in the Discord a couple weeks ago, but this is a creator called The Winter Den with underscores in between. Mm-hmm. And they made a Baba Yaga tea towel and t-shirt. I don't think that it's available yet. I think it's like going up for pre-order. It's either on pre-orders or going to be very soon. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very cute. I do not personally work with Baba Yaga, but I think that this is just like, it's just so stinking cute. The imagery is so cute. It's got a couple of different like styles of houses with the feet. Mm-hmm. There's one that's kind of got like a, almost like a spiraled tower. And I really like that. I just think it's so stinking cute. And yeah, I want one.
Honestly, it gives very Force Witch vibes, which you are a Force Witch currently.
Like, again, so. I don't work with Baba Yaga, but I really like the imagery of it. I think it's very cute, very sweet. Mm-hmm. I know the story is not, but I still like the imagery. And I think that this is very cute, and I'd love to have it as one of the tea towels. I just think they're very nice. Our listener submission this week is, I'm going to try really hard to pronounce this. It is Karbikovaka Crowns. Oh, it's going to be in the caption, guys. I know I just butchered that. I am so sorry. But they're so neat. They're like these beautiful, ornate headwear. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, there's stuff that is like flower crowns, but then there's also these like goddess crowns. And I don't know. I just think it's really wonderful. Mm-hmm.
They even have a Sante Morte one.
Yeah. I really think it's so, so beautiful and wonderful. And I'm really glad that we got sent this. I like the butterfly one a lot.
I like the halo crowns. Big fan. Big fan.
Yeah.
Would wear, would buy.
Yeah, I really think that they've got some really beautiful pieces. There's like a ram horn one with mm-hmm. crescent moons and stuff. Very, very beautiful. So if you're somebody who wants to do a photo shoot in the near future, this might be the head crown for you.
No kidding. I want, will follow. Follow me now.
And if you have got a creator shop, business, book, blog, whatever that you think that we would, or we should share with our other listeners, shoot us a DM, shoot us an email, reach out, let us know. We would love to hear them.
Yeah.
Thank you all so much for joining us this week. We hope to see you again on Friday, June 21st for our Coffee Talk episode, or June 28th, the 10th episode of Season 5. You can keep an eye out on our social media or head to our website, coffeeandcauldrons.com, to find out more information and see what we're up to. And don't forget to join us on Patreon, Library Tier It Up, June 29th for our class with Teresa Reed for her Tarot 101 class. As a reminder, if you are interested in this class but you cannot attend on June 29th, it is available to watch later for anybody who's in the library tier and up, as well as our entire backlog of previous classes. So we hope to see you there.
Yeah, and additionally, our Patreon Magical Beginnings offers a special 25-minute part 2 episode, a huge library of articles about witchcraft, a Discord community full of fun events and discussions, and we even have a tier that offers one-on-one conversations with Robin and myself.
Yes. So please, if you are loving our sexy, sensual, just Chef's Kiss voices. Take a moment to review us on whatever streaming service that you are tuning in from, such as Apple Podcasts or Spotify. We love reading your reviews, and rating us at all, but especially with 5 stars, helps us to be seen by others. Thank you everybody who already has and everybody who will in the future. And again, a special thank you to all of our Patreon members, because without you, this entire thing is not possible. So thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. And again, this is Coffee and Cauldrons
with Robin from At a Tired Witch Everywhere.
And I'm Maria from At Maria the Arcane Everywhere.
All right, ready?
Yep.
One, two, three. Bye, witches!